Aqualian actually placed his spike himself, as I understand it. The man was never entirely stable. His fervor for following Kelsier and killing the nobility was enhanced by ruin, but Aqualian had already had the impulses. His passionate paranoia bordered on insanity at times, and ruin was able to prod him into placing that crucial spike. Aqualian's spike was bronze, and he made it from one of the first allomancers he captured. That spike made him a seeker, which was one of the ways he was able to find and blackmail so many allomancers during his time as King of Urto. The point, however, is that people with unstable personalities were more susceptible to ruin's influence, even if they didn't have a spike in them. That, indeed, is likely how Zane got his spike.
70. I still don't see what good this does, Yeoman said, walking beside Elend as they passed Fadrix's gate. Elend ignored the comment, waving a greeting to a group of soldiers. He stopped beside another group, not his, but Yeoman's, and inspected their weapons. He gave them a few words of encouragement, then moved on. Yeoman watched quietly, walking at Elend's side as an equal, not a captured king. The two had an uneasy truce, but the field of Kolos outside was more than enough of a motivation to keep them working together. Elend had the larger army of the two, but not by much, and they were growing increasingly outnumbered as more and more Kolos arrived.
"We should be working on the sanitation problem," Yeoman continued once they were out of the men's earshot. "An army exists on two principles, health and food. Provide those two things and you will be victorious."
Elend smiled, recognizing the reference. Trentison's supplying in scale. A few years earlier, he would have agreed with Yeoman, and the two would probably have spent the afternoon discussing the philosophy of leadership in Yeoman's palace. However, Elend had learned things in the last few years that he simply hadn't been able to get from his studies. Unfortunately, that meant he really couldn't explain them to Yeoman, particularly not in the time they had. So instead, he nodded down the street.
"We can move on to the infirmary now, if you wish, Lord Yeoman."
Yeoman nodded, and the two turned toward another section of the city. The obligator had a no-nonsense approach to just about everything. Problems should be dealt with quickly and directly. He had a good mind, despite his fondness for making snap judgments. As they walked, Elend was careful to keep an eye out for soldiers, on duty or off, in the streets. He nodded to their salutes, met their eyes. Many were working to repair the damages caused by the increasingly powerful earthquakes. Perhaps it was just in Elend's mind, but it seemed that the soldiers walked a little taller after he passed. Yeoman frowned slightly as he watched Elend do this. The obligator still wore the robes of his station, despite the little bead of Atium at his brow that he used to mark his kingship. The tattoos on the man's forehead almost seemed to curl toward the bead, as if they had been designed with it in mind.
"You don't know about leading soldiers, do you, Yeoman?" Elend asked. The obligator raised an eyebrow.
"I know more than you ever will about tactics, supply lines, and the running of armies between distinct points."
"Oh," Elend said lightly. "So you've read Bennetson's Armies in Motion, have you?"
The distinct points line was a dead giveaway. Yeoman's frown deepened.
"One thing that we scholars tend to forget about, Yeoman, is the impact emotion can have on a battle. It isn't just about food, shoes, and clean water, necessary as those are. It's about hope, courage, and the will to live. The soldiers need to know that their leader will be in the fight, if not killing the enemies, then directing things personally from behind the lines. They can't think of him as an abstract force up on a tower somewhere, watching out a window and pondering the depths of the universe."
Yeoman fell silent as they walked through streets that, despite being cleaned of ash, had a forlorn cast to them. Most of the people had retreated to the back portions of the city, where the Kolos would go last if they broke through.
They were camping outside, since buildings were unsafe in the quakes.
"You are an interesting man, Elland Venture," Yeoman finally said.
"I'm a bastard," Elland said. Yeoman raised an eyebrow. "In composition, not in temperament or by birth," Elland said with a smile. "I'm an amalgamation of what I've needed to be. Part scholar, part rebel, part nobleman, part mistborn, and part soldier. Sometimes I don't even know myself. I had a devil of a time getting all those pieces to work together. And just when I'm starting to get it figured out, the world up and ends on me. Ah, here we are."
Yeoman's infirmary was a converted ministry building, which, in Ellen's opinion, showed that Yeoman was willing to be flexible. His religious buildings weren't so sacred to him that he couldn't acknowledge that they were the best facilities for taking care of the sick and wounded. Inside, they found physicians tending those who had survived the initial clash with the Koloss. Yeoman bustled off to speak with the infirmary bureaucrats. Apparently he was worried about the number of infections that the men had suffered. Elland walked over to the section with the most serious cases and began visiting them, offering encouragement. It was tough work, looking at the soldiers who had suffered because of his foolishness. How could he have missed seeing that ruin could take the Koloss back? It made so much sense. And yet ruin had played its hand well. It had misled Elland, making him think that the Inquisitors were controlling the Koloss, making him feel the Koloss could be counted on. What would have happened, he thought, if I'd attacked this city with them as originally planned? Ruin would have ransacked Fadrix, slaughtering everyone inside, and then turned the Koloss on Elland's soldiers. Now the fortifications defended by Elland and Yeoman's men had given Ruin enough pause to make it build up its forces before attacking.
I have doomed this city, Elland thought, sitting beside the bed of a man who had lost his arm to a Koloss blade. It frustrated him. He knew he'd made the right decision, and in truth, he'd rather be inside the city, almost certainly doomed, than be outside, besieging it, and winning. For he knew that the winning side wasn't always the right side.
Still, it came back to his continuing frustration at his inability to protect his people. And despite Yeoman's rule of Fadrix, Elland considered its people to be his people. He'd taken the Lord Ruler's throne, named himself Emperor. The entirety of the Final Empire was his to care for. What good was a ruler who couldn't even protect one city, let alone an empire full of them? A disturbance at the front of the infirmary room caught his attention. He cast aside his dark thoughts, then bid farewell to the soldier. He rushed to the front of the hospital where Yeoman had already appeared to see what the ruckus was about. A woman stood holding a young boy who was shaking uncontrollably with the fits. One of the physicians rushed forward, taking the boy.
"Missed sickness?" he asked.
The woman, weeping, nodded.
"I kept him inside until today. I knew that it wanted him. Oh, please."
Yeoman shook his head as the physician took the boy to a bed.
"You should have listened to me, woman," he said firmly. "Everyone in the city was to have been exposed to the mists. Now your son will take a bed that we may need for wounded soldiers."
The woman slumped down, still crying. Yeoman sighed, though Elland could see the concern in the man's eyes. Yeoman was not a heartless man, just a pragmatic one. In addition, his words made sense. It was no use hiding someone inside all of their lives, just because of the possibility that they might fall to the mists. Fall to the mists, Elland thought idly, glancing at the boy in bed. He had stopped convulsing, though his face was twisted in an expression of pain. It looked like he hurt so much. Elland had only hurt that much once in his life.
"We never did figure out what this mist sickness was all about," he thought. The mist spirit had never returned to him. But perhaps Yeoman knew something.
"Yeoman," he said,
walking up to the man, distracting him from his discussion with the surgeons. Did any of your people ever figure out the reason for the mist sickness?
Reason? Yeoman asked. Does there need to be a reason for a sickness?
There does for one this strange, Ellen said. Did you realize that it strikes down exactly 16% of the population? 16%, to the man. Instead of being surprised, Yeoman just shrugged.
Makes sense.
Sense? Ellen asked.
16 is a powerful number, Venture, Yeoman said, looking over some reports. It was the number of days it took the Lord Ruler to reach the Well of Ascension, for instance. It figures prominently in church doctrine.
Of course, Ellen thought. Yeoman wouldn't be surprised to find order in nature. He believes in a god who ordered that nature. 16, Ellen said, glancing at the sick boy.
The number of original inquisitors, Yeoman said. The number of precepts in each canton charter. The number of allomantic metals.
Wait, Ellen said, looking up. What?
Allomantic metals, Yeoman said.
There are only 14 of those. Yeoman shook his head.
14 we know of, assuming your lady was right about the metal paired to aluminum. However, 14 is not a number of power. Allomantic metals come in sets of 2, with groupings of 4. It seems likely that there are 2 more we haven't discovered, bringing the number to 16. 2 by 2 by 2 by 2. 4 physical metals, 4 mental metals, 4 enhancement metals, and 4 temporal metals.
16 metals. Ellen glanced at the boy again. Pain. Ellen had known such pain once, the day his father had ordered him beaten. Beaten to give him such pain that he thought he might die. Beaten to bring his body to a point near death, so that he would snap. Beaten to discover if he was an allomancer.
Lord Ruler, Ellen thought with shock.
He dashed away from Yeoman, pushing back into the soldiers' section of the infirmary.
Who here was taken by the mists? Ellen demanded.
The wounded regarded him with quizzical looks.
Did any of you get sick? Ellen asked. When I made you stand out in the mists. Please, I must know.
Slowly, the man with one arm raised his remaining hand.
I was taken, my lord. I'm sorry. This wound is probably punishment for...
Ellen cut the man off, rushing forward, pulling out his spare metal vial.
Drink this, he commanded.
The man paused, then did as asked. Ellen knelt beside the bed eagerly, waiting. His heart pounded in his chest.
Well?
He finally asked.
Well, what, my lord? The soldier asked.
Do you feel anything? Ellen asked.
The soldier shrugged.
Tired, my lord?
Ellen closed his eyes, sighing.
It was a silly... Well, that's odd, the soldier suddenly said.
Ellen snapped his eyes open.
Yes, the soldier said, looking a bit distracted. I don't know what to make of that.
Burn it, Ellen said, turning on his bronze. Your body knows how if you let it.
The soldier's frown deepened, and he cocked his head. Then he began to thump with allomantic power. Ellen closed his eyes again, exhaling softly. Yeoman was walking up behind Ellen.
What is this?
The mists were never our enemy, Yeoman, Ellen said, eyes still closed. They were just trying to help.
Help? Help how? What are you talking about?
Ellen opened his eyes, turning.
They weren't killing us, Yeoman. They weren't making us sick. They were snapping us, bringing us power, making us able to fight.
My lord,
a voice suddenly called. Ellen turned as a frazzled soldier stumbled into the room.
My lords, the Kolos are attacking. They're charging the city.
Ellen felt a start. Ruin. It knows what I just discovered.
It knows it needs to attack now rather than wait for more troops. Because I know the secret.
Yeoman, gather every bit of powdered metal you can find in this city, Elend yelled. Pewter, tin, steel, and iron. Get it to anyone who's been stricken by the mists. Make them drink it down.
Why? Yeoman said, still confused. Elend turned, smiling.
Because they are now Allomancers. This city isn't going to fall as easily as everyone assumed. If you need me, I'll be on the front lines.